Good morning and welcome to Christ Community Church. Also, happy Father's Day. My name is JT and I'm one of the pastors here. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the very long passage for today, Matthew 5:12, as we continue to dive into our King and Kingdom series. Today, specifically, we'll be looking at the heart of kingdom ethics. In examining the way that we are to interact with other humans in the world. Now, as we get into the golden rule this morning, I just want to acknowledge that it is always difficult to preach a passage that everyone already thinks that they know. In fact, I'm not sure if there is a more widely accepted biblical concept that is also deeply often diluted by the world, by the secular culture, and by other religions as the golden rule. In fact, according to Greg Epstein, who is the human secularist who fills the chaplaincy at Harvard, he says that the golden rule is a concept essentially no religion misses entirely, but belief in God is not necessary to endorse it. Now, I'm saying this to highlight in one sense that in many ways, this is the way that most Christians tend to fall into their understanding of the golden rule. And it is so far away from the beauty and the reality of what Matthew 7:12 would have for us. There are so many of us who have actually adopted this secular understanding of a golden rule rather than a biblical one. Many of us carry a doctrine of the golden rule that is actually devoid of God altogether. So when we talk about the golden rule, we talk about it like this moral thing that we do, that we muster up inside of ourselves to do some good to other people, to mankind. And when we throw around the golden rule in such a way that is like the secular mantra, do unto others as you want others to do unto you, we are actually missing the most important elements of this passage, which would be God and his word. Now, just to be clear, for a citizen in the kingdom of heaven, if you miss God at the center of the golden rule, you've missed it altogether. And so as we approach God's word this morning, let us recapture the beauty of the golden rule as we reflect on the beauty of the gospel. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now I want to start, as we get really into an understanding of what this is, we've got to first start with how it starts, with the word so. That's a conjunction. It was really tempting this morning to throw up some old school schoolhouse rock music for all the 90s kids. Some of that conjunction, junction, what's your function, gold? Hooking up words, phrases, and clauses. Now, here's how I know that that really worked in elementary school for me. When I read the word conjunction for the first time when studying this sermon, that's what came to mind. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? It was buried deep in those cobwebs from elementary school and it came to the surface. But what we see, and why it's so helpful, is conjunctions are to point us to the phrases and clauses that are being brought together by that conjunction. And so this word so that's often misused or underused in the golden rule is actually essential to understanding the golden rule. This conjunction so, maybe even better translated as therefore, gives us one of the most overlooked yet key pieces to really understanding the magnitude of this text. So don't overlook your conjunction junction functions, which in this case is designed to connect this phrase, this imperative, to the passage that comes right before it. It's almost like a cause and effect sort of way. Now, in this section of scripture, we're getting into the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And as we look at the golden rule, it's not clear whether or not this phrase is intended to be connected to just the picture of a good father who gives good gifts, or if it's designed to be connected to the whole Sermon on the Mount about the growing wholeness that we would have as we become more complete and whole as our Heavenly Father is whole, complete, and perfect. But either way, the application is the same. As we see that the golden rule isn't just a standalone clause. It's not something in the standalone clause like the secular mantra would mimic, but instead it hinges on the good news of God and the gospel. There is something here in this verse that connects to the rest of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And so this word so or therefore, it is important in understanding what this passage even means. This is in almost this cause and effect function, like we would think of in the English, meaning that the phrase before is deeply important as a cause that would lead to this clause that comes afterwards in sort of an effect sort of way. And so for example, as we think about this, as we understand it, since today is Father's Day, let's hone in on some Father's Day examples. Because it's Father's Day, clause. Therefore, we have this effect imperative. Go tell your dad happy Father's Day. Because my dad loves adrenaline, cause. Therefore, effect imperative. Let me go skydiving, whitewater rafting with him, mountaineering, dirt biking with him. Because my dad loves cars. Therefore, effect imperative. Let me go and sit with him at the Daytona 500 and grow up racing cars with him. Cause, because we have given my parents 4 grandchildren. Therefore, they finally got a pony. I'm going to just hone in on this for weeks now because I can't get my mind around the fact that my parents finally have my greatest allergy for their grandkids. Love you, Mom and Dad. The Greek language uses this conjunction in a very similar way to how we use it in the English. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has already used this conjunction 12 times. And in most cases, Jesus sets up his teaching and then uses this conjunction to set up the application to his teaching. He says, in light of this good news, therefore do this. The first time he does it is in chapter 5, 17 through 20. I want you to flip there if you have your Bibles for a second. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, same conjunction, whoever relaxes one of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called last in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is teaching, since he is here to fulfill the law and prophets, therefore, do not relax these commands. Just a few more verses later, he goes into chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. You have heard that it was said of old to those of old, do not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So, therefore, same conjunction. Application, if you are offering a gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Jesus is saying, because anger and resentment of the heart towards a brother or a sister is liable to the same judgment as murder, therefore, leave that offering at the altar and first go reconcile with your brother. This is what Jesus has been doing throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, setting up a teaching and then leading us into application with this conjunction. We'll give one more example, chapter 6, 30 through 31. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. Because we see God's care, concern, provision. Therefore, do not be anxious. Now, as we're arriving at the conclusion of Jesus' sermon, we're seeing this therefore statement. He's saying, therefore, in light of all that I've taught you, whatever you wish then that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And so this conjunction, it specifically highlights the way that Jesus is pointing us in application. Jesus has been using it through the totality of his sermon, and he means for us to see the good news of what comes before as we walk in application of what he would have. This means that we must stop reading the golden rule as merely a standalone mantra, and instead, we must look at the context around it. And in this context, we recapture the beauty and the magnitude of all that God would have for us as his children. And so it makes us ask, what comes right before it? I mean, last week we honed in and we looked at our good Father who gives good gifts to his children. And then Jesus says, therefore, go do good to everyone. Or if we look at the greater context of the whole sermon, of what it means to grow in wholeness as the Heavenly Father is perfect, therefore, go imitate him in the way we do good to others. Now, whether it's the immediate passage about God giving good gifts to his children or the greater context of the Sermon on the Mount, what we see here is that the because doesn't change. The because is God and what he has done and what he is doing for his children in the kingdom of heaven. Think about how this changes how we read the golden rule. Because of God and our redeemed relationship with him, because of the great love we've received, because he loves us and gives us immeasurable good gifts, because he has been gracious and kind and good to us, so therefore, in all of your relationships with all of your neighbors, go do good to them. Because the gospel is good, therefore we reflect the gospel to our neighbors by doing good to them. We must stop diluting the golden rule as merely this worldly moral imperative and mantra. What Jesus is teaching is so much bigger than that. For the people of God in his kingdom. And these people are so changed by these kingdom realities that it would lead them to have new relationships in this world. Remember, all through the Sermon on the Mount, what we've seen over and over and over again is that people who follow Christ will endure persecution. People will revile us. People will speak horrible words over us. But here's what Jesus is saying. In light of the good news, because of what you've received from a holy and a good and a loving God, therefore, your interactions with people aren't dependent on them. They're dependent on what you've received from God. Listen, this is so important. The world needs to see this in our churches. People leave in droves, by and large, by reading the word. And then in churches, not seeing that lived out in action. By and large, because we adopt a secular mindset as we come to the word. And what God would have for us by the work of his spirit in the life of his church is that we would live in light of this good news that God has called us into that we would truly be an embassy of the kingdom of God here on earth, reflecting who our God is in a world that is so lost and hurting. Because God has done something that we couldn't do. Since God moved and adopted us into his family and has a people for himself set apart, sons and daughters, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, his temple, so therefore, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, as we're looking at this and we're seeking to understand this passage, we're really beginning to understand, like, what has God called us to then? In light of this good news, therefore, what does this actually mean in the way that we live out our daily interactions in this world? And it's important to hone in on and look at the very next word. It's whatever. The reason it's important to understand the full scope of this word is that that word can also mean everything. It means all. It means there's no escape clause. Our whole ethic is impacted by the gospel, and we've been called to a whole new way of life. So what this is reading, it says, therefore, whatever, everything, in all, anything, whatever you would desire others to do to you, do to them. This word that means all or everything, I want you to see the magnitude of this word because it brings a deep intensity to this word. The word comes from the Greek noun for fragrance. Listen, this is important because fragrance, it fills a space. It saturates a space. It's a word that adds intensity to how far and how wide this imperative goes, which is why it's important to hone in on the fact that we often dilute it. And this is a fragrance that must not be diluted in God's church. It's meant, this ethic is meant and intended to saturate every space, every interaction with every person in every place we would find ourselves. Now, for this next illustration, we can either choose our own adventure by sticking with the 90s kid theme or hone in on the Father's Day theme. When I was in middle school, we had this thing called Axe. Does everyone remember Axe body spray? Yeah. Yeah, right now, if you know it, like, your muscle memory is smelling it right now, and it's terrible. Or if we're to hone in on Father's Day, I'm sorry if this is offensive to anyone in this room, let's think Avon cologne. Because I can make fun of myself in this, let's stick with Axe body spray. For Axe body spray, when I was in middle school, there was this thing that was really funny. It was called an Axe bomb. Does anyone remember an Axe bomb? You take the button, you push it in, you tape it closed, you throw it into a room, and it doesn't stop spraying. It's a very distinct smell. If you walk into any middle school locker room from the 90s, early 2000s, you're going to smell Axe body spray. The golden rule, listen, and it permeates every space. Every space. You walk in the showers, it smells like it. You're at the locker, it smells like it. You're probably at the door of the locker room, and it smells like it. Everywhere. The golden rule is a gospel Axe bomb. Because of the magnitude of the gospel, you shouldn't be able to escape the fragrance of Christ in his church. The aroma of Christ saturates into every part of every ethic for everyone who is his. It doesn't stop. It's everywhere, and it should be. Every interaction with every person as we encounter them in every space that we would find ourselves should be impacted by this reality. How deep does this teaching go, this application, this response go? It's in all. It's in everything, everywhere to everyone. That means everywhere we would find ourselves, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in the places we recreate. Now listen, that also means to people who do not treat us kindly. That means on social media, that means on the highway, that means in line at the DMV. The fragrance and the aroma of Christ should be seen in every one of our interactions. Jesus is giving no escape clause here. And this imperative is nothing like the way the world thinks about their golden rule. And there are too many worldly misconceptions and misapplications that have crept their way into our doctrine about what the golden rule is. And we must recapture a gospel-centered biblical view of the golden rule. The golden rule does not say in some things. It does not say when people deserve it. It does not say when people have earned it. It does not say when people reciprocate it. It does not even say if people receive it from us. There are no what ifs, no escape clauses, no exceptions here for the citizen of the kingdom of heaven. But in all this inclusive statement, we are to be a people uniquely set apart to reflect God's gospel as citizens of his kingdom of heaven as we interact with our neighbors here on earth. The golden rule isn't dependent on a person. It's dependent on our God. Maybe a better way to say it, it's not dependent on a human interaction. It's dependent on our God. We're called to do good because of who our God is. Instead, this picture, it's totally and completely dependent on our God alone. Because of him and because of what he's done, because of our relationship with him, therefore, let us go and do to others in everything as we would want done to ourselves. Now, the Christian does not need anything from another person to participate in the golden rule. When the world teaches their golden rule, they teach as far as the person deserves it. Listen, I want to expose some of the things that we creep into in our thought processes, because Jesus gives no escape clause here. The world teaches their golden rule as long as the other person is doing the same to you. The world teaches their golden rule as deep as the way it's reciprocated. The world teaches their golden rule to do unto others so that they will do the same to you. The world teaches their golden rule that if you do it, they will do it to you. The world teaches that if they stop doing it, then I'll stop doing it. The world teaches that you should be doing this to me, and then I will do it to you. But that is not what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching that there is no conditionality attached to the way we do good to others. That we think about the good that's been done to us by a holy God, and out of an outflow of that, we do good to others. Jesus is teaching that our motivation for doing good is not tied up in what others are doing to us. They may be doing nothing. Our motivation is what God has done. And our metric is what we would want done to us. Listen, this is important because we know what we want pretty well. I mean, if you're as selfish as I am, you know that you want people to listen to you. You want people to give you the benefit of the doubt. You want people to love you. You want people to serve you. You want people to give generously to you, to forgive you, to give provision, to give mercy, to give kindness, to give words of affirmation. Jesus is saying, in those things, don't wait for those to come to you before you engage with that. But because of what God has already brought to you, you actively participate in those areas of building people up and loving them and doing good to them. Jesus does not promise that they will do it back to you. If anything, the other might be promised that they might revile us for his name's sake. But that doesn't change how we do good. The point is that because he has done so much good for us and to us, that we would walk likewise, imitating our God as we grow in wholeness. Because God, therefore, in all you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. This next clause, we hone in on something that's really important. Do also to them. It's important because this is not a passive imperative statement. It is very active. This is important to note that we don't sit back and wait to see what the world does. Instead, we engage actively, making Christ known in our city by loving and serving and doing good to the people around us. Because of what God does and has done, therefore we do. I love what J.C. Ryle says of this verse. This is going to be long, but hone in on this because this is so important. J.C. Ryle comments and states, "In this part of the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord begins to draw his discourse to a conclusion. The lessons he here enforces on our notice are broad, general, and full of the deepest wisdom. Let us mark them in succession. He lays down a general principle for our guidance in all doubtful questions between man and man. We are to do to others as we would have others do to us. We are not to deal with others as others deal with us. This is mere selfishness and heathenism. We are to deal with others as we would like others to deal with us. This is real Christianity. This is the golden rule indeed. It does not merely forbid all petty malice and revenge, all cheating and overreaching. It does much more. It settles 100 difficult points, which in a world like this are continually arising between man and man. It prevents the necessity of laying down endless little rules for our conduct in specific cases. It sweeps the whole debatable ground with one mighty principle. It shows us a balance and measure by which everyone may see at once what is his duty. Is there a thing we would not like our neighbor to do to us? And let us always remember that this is the thing we ought not to do to him. Is there something or one thing that we would like him to do to us? Then this is the very thing we ought to do to him. How many intricate questions would be decided at once if this rule were honestly used?" Listen, I know the proneness of my heart. We are so often deeply entitled, thinking about what others should do for us. We're often so punitive, thinking about what others deserve from us. We're often so easily offended, thinking about how others should get what's coming to them. We're often lazy, thinking that someone else will step in and do something so that we don't have to. We're so often bought into the secular mantra that surrounds the golden rule that we miss the beauty of the gospel as it propels us into the golden rule. Listen to this. We are owed nothing, and yet we have received everything in Christ Jesus. And so let us live our lives laid down selflessly for others. We deserved punishment for our sin, and yet we received mercy from God, and so let us be merciful. We were offensive in our rebellion against our God, and yet, instead of giving us what we deserved, he gave us good gifts. He gave us his Son, that we would be with him where he is. We were offensive in our rebellion, and yet Christ laid down his life for us. And so let us give good gifts to those who offend, who revile, and who persecute us. We weren't looking for God, but by his grace, he miraculously opened our eyes to see him. And so let us see the needs around us with those new eyes and meet those needs with the good news of the gospel. This gospel ethic, it is total. It's all of life. It's everything to everyone, and it's active. In this biblical golden rule, we reflect on the very beauty of the gospel that we've received as we actively do unto others, even when they do not deserve it. Let us be a people of mercy and grace, reflecting the good news, walking in love. Let us be a people on the lookout for what we can do unto others because of what God has done for us. And I love this. Let's look how Jesus ties this up at the end. It's an element that's often missed in the golden rule. For this is the law and the prophets. What Jesus is saying here is we act in such a way because of what God has done, but also these are God's words. Jesus is saying that explicitly in the scriptures, in the Torah, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, the law, and the prophets, the whole of scripture, the Old Testament, it teaches of this ethic for the people of God. These are God's words, and there's harmony in all of scripture as it points to this kingdom ethic. From Genesis to Revelation, we see what it means to live in light of the good news as we navigate the world around us. In God's word, we see exactly how we are called to live and respond in this world. And so, as we come to the golden rule, if you're struggling to love your enemy, if you're struggling to forgive someone who doesn't deserve your forgiveness, if you're struggling to do good to someone who's wronged you, offended you, hurt you, if you're struggling to navigate the current social climate with information that's coming from every direction, what Jesus is saying is press into God's word. For this is the law and the prophets. Be humbled by his word. Hit our head against it until we work it out. Press into it. Be changed by him. Be changed by what he's done, and then walk in light of what he's called us to as his church. Let us dive into his word, understand the depths of his grace and kindness to us as we learn to keep in step and walk with the Spirit in the ways we engage the world around us, doing good to all of them because of what God has done to us. This golden rule, that's countercultural. This golden rule, it reflects a big gospel. This golden rule reveals the character of our God through his people. Citizens of the kingdom of God are to be a people set apart, loved by him, loving others around them as they point to the good news of our Lord. Listen, this is important. Because Denton, where we find ourselves, is where God would have us as a church. There are people all around us who are deeply skeptical about what they've seen and the inconsistencies between what they've read or maybe heard in God's word and the life of believers. Let that not be true for us. And where it is true for us, let us repent and be humble and walk in the power of the Spirit, reflecting the good news of our God. As we gather, let us be encouraged to go out and saturate this city with the good news. Here's a plug. This is what we're pressing. This is what we're looking at as the mission of our church in the city of Denton. This isn't a time we just come for 1 hour a week, gather, feel good about ourselves, and go back out. This is the time that as God's people, the family who gather at Christ Community Church, come to reflect and worship our God. We reflect on the good news and we worship him as we become energized to go out, stirred up to go out and worship him in every rhythm of our life, making much of Jesus here in Denton. So if you want to press into that and you're thinking about that, we have an equip hour right now pressing into that idea. What does it mean to follow Jesus in all of life as we make much of Jesus in all of Denton? As we saturate Denton with the fragrance and the aroma of our Christ. That's our purpose right now, is to worship God and make him known. And so right now, as a people, as a church, let us press into this. Let us live in such a way, in this countercultural way, that reflects the good news everywhere we go. Let us find purpose in every interaction with every person that God would call us in relationship with. And let us be on the lookout for them. And let us do good to them, because God has done so much for us. Let us be a people that reflects this good news in all that we do, as we love our God and we love people around us. Because God, therefore, in all you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the word of God. Would you pray with me?